following program is pre-recorded. Live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, this is Hope in the Night, late-night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, you were just telling me, I didn't know this about you, that you are fascinated with stories recounting of the Titanic and that story, that tragedy that happened in, I think you said 1912.
1912.
And that's not because I remember it, because you just told me.
But right. Well, you think here is the unsinkable ship, touted as unsinkable in England. But history was changed in 1912 by the sinking of this British luxury liner, the Titanic, and the horrific tragedy resulted in the deaths of more than 1,500 people. And the interesting thing about this, previous to its launch, those who are experts in shipping and the like, they believe it's 16 watertight compartments would keep it afloat regardless of any disaster. Hmm. That's what it was touted as. It was unthinkable. Well, there's a researcher, Titanic researcher David Brown, said the ship could have been its own lifeboat, even after running aground on a submerged iceberg. Can you imagine? And I can't even grasp this. The 46,000, the weight being 46,000 gross liner was capable of saving all on board.
Wow.
By floating into mid-morning until the rescue ship of the Carpathia arrived on the scene. Instead, though, once the Titanic's owner, his name was Bruce Ismay, saw that the damage appeared minimal to him, there was a hole in the hull measuring only about 12 square feet, and that the ship's pumps were successfully expelling the incoming water. So he ordered, "Engines ahead, half speed." Well, minutes later, the ship's fragile buoyancy gave way, and it began to plunge fatally into the water. Now, the researcher, David Brown, says, quote, "The inescapable conclusion is that Titanic's pumps were swamped by massive amounts of water pushed into the ship by its own forward motion."
Hmm.
"The Titanic appears to have steamed itself into a watery North Atlantic grave." That's poetic language, the right way he wrote this. Of course, I sit there and then I think, the unsinkable Titanic. Yet all of these individuals, the 1,500 plus, we would say, if only they could have been saved. You know, thousands of people were comfortably and confidently, securely either sleeping below deck, or some were out playing cards and other things.
Yes.
But there's a very interesting passage in the Bible, Luke 12, verse 20. God said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." Well, that's not intended really for the Titanic, but it could be applied, because that's what happened. you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Hmm. And I think the issue is there were many who evaluated as a result of this tragedy all kinds of issues about they didn't have adequate lifeboats. And one of the reforms brought about by the sinking of what was considered the best ship of the White Star Line was the requirement that all ocean-going vessels would be equipped with adequate lifeboats. You see, the Titanic carried enough for only half its passengers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Brown says that while it sank, preventing panic was paramount. This is a quote. The maximum number of lives could be saved by loading only those people smart enough or lucky enough to reach the boat deck. No one would be told to go to the boats. In this way, the boat deck would remain free from panic for as long as possible. Those who remained in the warmth and false security of the ship's public rooms would have to fend for themselves after the boats were gone. Well, you know, our God does not leave us to fend for ourselves. He's already provided for our personal spiritual salvation through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The Heart, we want to support you in your ministry calling. Whether you're involved in your local church or you're a professional counselor, life coach, or just someone who has a heart to help others, we want to come alongside you and give you the tools, training, and the support you need to fulfill God's calling in your life. That's why I want to invite you to the Hope Together Conference this September. Hope Together is such an encouraging time of training, fellowship, workshops, and more with brothers and sisters who are doing similar ministry just like you. You'll be supported by fellow ministry leaders and inspiring speakers, including Lee Strobel, James E. Ward Jr., Nick Vujicic, Crystal Evans Hurst, June Hunt, Steve Arterburn, and more. Hope Together is a live stream and in-person event in Allen, Texas. For best pricing, sign up today at hopetogether.com. That's hopetogether.com.
Do you ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that He accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as His precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that He is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver. You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. Our customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. I want to recommend one of our keys for living, as June shared that story about the Titanic and then tied it into our salvation. And if you have questions about salvation, we have a great resource in one of our keys for living called Salvation, Answering Arguments, Overcoming Objections. And that's available as you call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. Maybe you'd like to purchase that to answer some questions for yourself or to help answer questions for someone you care about. about, who's struggling with questions about salvation, and that would be a great resource for them. Again, 800-488-HOPE is the number to call. If you'd like to speak with June about something that's going on in your life, you have some questions about that and just would like to see what God's perspective is on your situation, there are lots of answers, and we'd like to help you find those. Just call us to be on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And call, leave a message for us. We'll get back to you as soon as we can to schedule you for an upcoming Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-NIGHT-17. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight, and we are delighted to have back with us a caller listening in Colorado on KGFT The Word, and we welcome back Michael.
Oh, wow. How wonderful to hear from you again, Michael. What a treat.
June, yeah. It's been a pleasure to listen to you and to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Well, what's going on in your life? Well, it's a joy. I've always enjoyed talking with you. What's going on?
Likewise. Yeah, I'm just about ready to complete my first year of Bible college. And firstly, I wanted to say that I listened to your conversation. You have many interesting conversations, but one of the latest ones with Amy a while back. And I need to say that for over 55 years, I had been struggling and literally suffering with doubting my own salvation, especially, you know, when I read in Romans chapter 8, verses like 12 through 17, where it talks about salvation and sonship, or being a son of God. And, you know, it says in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I would like to be, God, how come I don't feel like that inner witness? Where is that? How come I don't sense it? And even going through the first semester of Bible college and praying to God over and over, I literally went up to the altar maybe 100, 200, 300 times. I don't know. It's just been so many times over the years. Praying the sinner's prayer, listening to Billy Graham, watching him on TV, praying that prayer while he's, you know, praying it with people. And never would I feel that sense of sonship. And so finally, just about, I'd say maybe a month and a half ago, our pastor, the founders of our school, was talking about how we cannot trust in our feelings. We cannot trust in even, you know, our emotions, our thoughts concerning who we are, really. We have to trust in the Word of God. And finally, I just came to a point where I said, okay, enough of this is enough. I am just going to stop trusting in my feelings and my emotions and even my thoughts. And I am just, Lord, I am just going to trust in your Word. And that's it. And within, I would say, a week, I was in the shower and the Lord spoke to me through the Spirit in my inner man, my inner witness, and said to me, you are accepted in the Beloved. And I was so happy to hear that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But then I went through a little bit of doubt, and the Lord knows us. He knows our heart. And so I had a friend, he's a second-year student, and he would text me a very encouraging scripture verse just about every morning, but he hadn't texted me in over 2 weeks. And so, you know, I get this ping on my phone when I'm dressing. I'm getting ready for school. And I was like, I don't know if I want to look at that. Well, I felt maybe like this being compelled. Go ahead, just go check it out. So I went ahead and read it, and it was from him. It was from my friend. And it was Ephesians 1:6, the same exact verse the Lord gave me. You are accepted in the Beloved. And so I'm like, Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Yeah. Confirmation. Confirmation.
Right. It was confirmation. And then, not only that, June, but one last time, I'm studying this book, and I get to school ahead of, way ahead of schedule, like an hour before, so that I can study it. And I study with a friend. And so we're going through a lesson and a chapter, and sure enough, that verse had never come up before, but that very lesson, and I don't read ahead of time when I go, and there it was again. It was the same verse, Ephesians 1, verse 6. So
yes.
I felt like, and I know I'm saying the word felt, but I really know that I know for the first time in my life, after that many years, over 55 years, that I am a child of God. And to know who you are in Christ is essential. And so I felt my heart went out to Amy, and I thought, man, I just want to encourage her if she's listening, and I bet you she is, and others like her, that you just can't rely on your feelings. You just got to rely on the Word of God, and that's it.
So interesting that you are talking about this, because I'm not trying to base other people's experiences based on my experience, but for quite a while I wondered. I knew I had prayed and received Jesus, not having any biblical background. And I was 15, but I didn't have the feelings that I saw others had. For years, I didn't have the feelings. And I wondered why, but I knew my life had changed. And yet, I would see people who were just very emotive. And I'm not saying weird. I mean, some people are weird, if you understand what I mean. But I'm talking about they would love the Lord. And I didn't know why I didn't have that same emotional response. I deeply appreciated the change that had taken place, the truths that I learned. Now, I'm cognitive, I'm math, my mind doesn't typically go emotional, but there was something I read much later, written by Dr. Charles Stanley, and he, in essence, said the same thing about himself, but his background was one of pain. He was a product of divorce in terms of, I'm talking about his, I think this is right, his parents. And there were just, you know, some people grow up with this wonderful, nurturing family, and other people do not. And my family was bizarre. It's the only thing I can say, bizarre and painful. So it dawned on me, it matters, or I'll say it this way, it can matter what our background was.
Right.
Because if there was significant pain, that can color our experience. There's not an easy comfort. I mean, I used to think not about God, but just it's more like I didn't trust people. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know who would be dependable. Even if somebody would pledge loyalty or whatever, I couldn't. It was so hard to trust that. And is this making sense, what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, because I've kind of gone through the same experience as you. My family, my background is very similar, very painful to yours. I mm-hmm. totally get it.
Okay. So as much as, you know, I always love to see people who, I'm thinking about a cousin in particular, and there was no question she loved the Lord, and she was a leader in Kansas City and helped so many people. But it's like I knew she knew God. I knew she had a true, authentic relationship with Jesus. There's no question. But I just knew I wasn't like her at all in terms of emotive. And now, I didn't try to force that because I wasn't even verbal about it to anyone because I did not share my story at all until much later, many decades later. But, you know, we will be different. We meaning people, are going to be different. Some of us, like you and me, we had a type of pain that definitely colored our experience. And but you know, it dawned on me this: I don't have to have emotion. I don't have to feel what others, you know, some others are feeling. I know the truth. The truth is, I did humble my heart. I did receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior once I figured out what that was. And initially, I didn't even know the language. But emotionalism, you know, it's not required. The
right,
main
exactly.
thing is for you and me to say, no matter what, I'm choosing to entrust my life to you. And that's
and
what the word believe.
God's word.
Yeah, believe. The word believe means to rely upon, to trust in, that we entrust our lives to him. And if it's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, what we do is we allow him to take control of our lives. And then I love the scripture, faithful is the one who calls you and he will do it. Once we enter in that relationship with him, he guides us in the way we should go.
No matter what you're facing, there is hope. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. When we face challenges at home, at work, in our family, or maybe a private struggle, it can be hard to see what God is doing. The good news is, you're not alone. If you're facing a difficult life issue, we'd love to help. Give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17 to talk with June Hunt on the Hope in the Night broadcast. You can talk with June about any issue, whether it's family, anxiety, anger, grief, or just the everyday stress of life. June would love to hear your story and offer help and hope through God's Word. The Bible says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. That's 1-800-644-4817. Sharing your story can be a blessing to you and others.
Hi, it's Dr. Eric Scalise, and I'm excited to share with you what I see God doing through Hope for the Heart. I've served in ministry as a professional counselor for over 43 years now, and I'm seeing such a hunger among the body of Christ to be equipped to address real issues like anxiety, depression, grief, trauma, and the mental health needs affecting so many today. Last summer, we hosted a sold-out training event with attendees from 38 states and 6 countries. Join me, June Hunt, George Barna, and other experts on Saturday, June 22nd, for our next event on mental health and the church. It's right here in Plano, Texas, and we'll be live streaming the event as well. You don't want to miss this. Sign up today at hopefortheheart.org/church. That's hopefortheheart.org. www.hopeinthenight.org/church.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have any questions, concerns about the topic of salvation, as we're talking about that tonight, or assurance of salvation, we have resources that you would like to take a look at and just have some of your questions answered. Just take a look and see what kind of help you can have for your own heart or for someone you care about as they struggle with some questions as well. The customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd like to help you access the right resources for you. And again, we have the Keys for Living on the topic of salvation called Answering Arguments, Overcoming Objections, and they can get that resource to you if that's going to be helpful for you. Also, you can email them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org with any questions you have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. That email again, customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Well, June, we're going to get back to our caller. It's just so interesting. We talked over the break there that that's happened to me as well, and that's so, it's just fascinating when God gives you that word, reminds you of something in His word, and then you see it a second time, and you think, well, that's interesting, and then you see it a third time within a short time, and it's like, okay, well, there's something going on here. And so I love that testimony there from Michael, and we'll get back to your conversation with him.
Well, I am genuinely so pleased for you, so happy for you, because that's a discovery that you've made, and it sounds as though God wanted to confirm this to you personally, that you are accepted. What do you think that means, accepted in the beloved?
Well, I do know what it means, because as you know, I'm in Bible college, and I was just going to say that. And accepted literally means, for all you listening out there, it literally means highly favored. It was only used twice in all of the Bible, and the first one of the times was when the Virgin Mary had spoke to the angel, and the angel said to her that basically she is highly favored. Well, then it uses it in Ephesians as accepted. Well, it means basically you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And so that's something I wanted to speak about, because you touched on regarding the emote, how others can emote their love and joy for the Lord, their relationship with Him, the salvation that they experience. And that like in the college that I'm at, there's hundreds of people, and some of them you can just see it. They have this joy, and I'm like, I wish I could really express mine that way. But like you said, June, which is so important for everybody out there, we're made differently, and our past is in some ways has conformed us to who we are right now. It doesn't mean we're going to always be that way, but the verse in verse 9 in Romans chapter 8 talks about, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, that always brought a question to me until now. Not to say for people, I want to encourage everybody, you're gonna still have doubts at times. You're gonna still feel like, you know, Satan's gonna come at you, and or life or whatever, and you're gonna feel discouragement at times because of what's going on. But you cannot look at circumstance and trust in circumstance and your own thoughts. You have to go back to the Bible and say, nope, I don't care how I feel right now. I'm not feeling well, or I'm not feeling encouraged, or I'm not feeling joy for whatever reason, but I will trust in what I know to be true. And that, and we all know that those of us that believe that truly, the Word of God is true. Mm-hmm. Nothing else is true. Our feelings are not even true at the time. And like it says in Revelation, in the last book, that, you know, even the very elect, the believers of that time, will literally be deceived. Well, we know that Jesus said that many antichrists or many false prophets and what have you will come into this world to deceive even the very elect. But they cannot, if people will just go back to the Bible and say, wait, but Jesus went out of this world, he ascended into heaven, and he will come back with a shout and descend from heaven to the earth. Now, did that man or whomever that's talking about himself as being the Christ, did we see him come down from heaven? No. Well, then I'm not going to believe in him. I'm only going to believe what the Word of God says. And hopefully if people can take that to heart and just not trust in other things, including circumstances.
I think this is huge. Yeah. What you've hit on is the authority of God being presenting to us the Word of God. It's his authority. He's the one who created the entire universe. He's the one who created every human being on this earth. He is the creator. And so what he did is he authored, he inspired those who would be writing what he led them to write in the Bible. And I think it's valuable enough to look at one chapter in particular and read it multiple times. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's Psalm 119. And the whole theme of this one chapter is the Word of God. It is the authority of the Word of God. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm just looking at multiple verses. You know, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Renew my life according to your word. You see, there's authority in his word, and this is what you were saying. If God said it, you know, I'm going to use, I used to hear, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, that's actually not correct. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not.
Right, right.
So the issue is we need to line up our thinking with God's thinking. And what the purpose of this one fantastic psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119, if we do that, we will come away with a greater appreciation of what God has provided for us, and that is his truth as revealed in the Bible, in Psalm 119 specifically. So I'm going to encourage right now every person within the week, take the time with I'm going to suggest a highlighter, like I use a yellow highlighter, and then periodically, I will underline certain individual words, and it's like, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And so I've underlined, this verse 18, I've underlined, open my eyes. And that is my prayer. I want God to open my eyes to see what God is trying to say to me, or that he says to all of us. And I think, you know, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And so I underlined pure and living according to your word. I see.
Well, June,
mm-hmm.
I want to say this because what you just said a little bit a while ago is not lost on me, and I want to bring it back up because it's profound, and that is, you said, if God said it, therefore it's true. That is so profound because, see, people get mixed up, and when you put it that other word in there that you took out the second time you said it, and I believe it. Well, yeah, it's important to believe, but that doesn't necessarily make it true, because then people corrupt everything, and even the Word of God, they try to corrupt it. I mean, so that's why you said what you said, because you took people out of it. You left it only to God, up to God's word, and that's it. And which is so beautiful and profound, and people need, I think a lot of people did get it, but, you know, I'm just reiterating it because that cannot get lost on us, that, you know, that when God says something, regardless of what we say we believe or whether we believe that, okay, that's good for you. You believe it? Great. Wonderful. Hallelujah. But still, it doesn't matter whether you believe it. It does, but it doesn't. Not to God. I mean,
that's it. It doesn't change the truth. Right. It doesn't change the truth.
It does not change the truth. And
in fact,
the other thing that...
I want to say this. Why don't, for all of us, we could take the time to just write that down. The statement is, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And what I'm saying is, no, if God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And that means that he is the ultimate authority. And yes, it's a blessing. It'll work if we believe it. But the truth is, he is. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He is the truth. And so we need to line up our thinking with God's thinking.
And that's why Moses, when he said to him, well, what should I say to them when they ask me, you know, who he said, I am. That's all he said, I am. Because what he meant is just what you're saying. It doesn't matter what they're going to think. I am.
You know that I am. I think it's helpful even if we want to complete a concept. The word I am, of course, was used way back in the with Abraham. And when here's this burning bush, the concept is I am is referring to God himself with all caps. I am. But if we want to, you could say, I am all you will ever need. You could fill that out. I am. God says to you, I am all you will ever need. He completes us. And how special is that?
What does the Bible say about anxiety, abuse, or grief? Does the Bible really say anything about addiction, boundaries, or dealing with difficult people? As June Hunt has often said, there really are biblical solutions to all of life's struggles. We are excited to let you know about the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart, the Care and Counsel Library. Developed over a span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders, the Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on real-life issues. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Care and Counsel Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL
That's hopefortheheart.org/CCL.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord reminds us to lift one another up in prayer. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we'll send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope in the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for the prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
You are listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have any questions about what we were talking about tonight, about the topic of salvation, assurance of salvation, the authority of Scripture, we have resources on all of those. I'll recommend some of those to you in a bit. If you have any other questions about maybe other topics or questions that have come up in your life, just talk to our customer support team. We have over 100 of what we call Keys for Living. Those provide biblical hope and practical help on so many topics. And we would like to help you connect with one of those or several of those if that's going to help you the most. Well, they're available, our customer support team, at 800-488-HOPE, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'd like to talk with you and suggest some of our resources for you. Our Keys for Living on Salvation, called Answering Arguments, Overcoming Objections. Also, we have Keys for Living on the topic of the Bible. It's called Is It Reliable? Truth on Trial. That's Keys for Living on the Bible. If you'd like to know more about that and just get a better understanding of the foundation of our faith that written word that we can rely on, we'd like you to have that resource in your hands. Just call for that, and we'll be happy to order that resource for you. Again, 800-488-HOPE. Well, back now to our conversation with Michael.
Well, Michael, is there an issue of anything that it's like I have challenged, I've been challenged by this, whether it's a statement, whether it's the way certain people are. Is there anything that has made you feel, I don't understand that?
Well, I would say that the most perplexing thing for me, and I want to encourage as many men as I can to hear this, that, you know, I was taught way back when, and I would say this may answer your question indirectly, that, you know, oh, we need to get in touch with our feelings. You know, I've heard that for the last 45, 50 years. And so I believed it. I believe that. And that's what the world says. And so, yeah, okay, on some level, yes. But it is so confusing. I was like you, June. I didn't really emote very much. I was very much quiet, you know, way back when, very shy, didn't really show much emotion about anything. And I think the thing that's most perplexing is that we need to accept people as they are and not try to conform them to our image of how we are, and they have to be like us so that we can accept them. Because then I started trying to get in touch with my feelings. Well, that's what messed me up. If I wouldn't have listened to these people that were always trying to say, oh, you're too quiet, you're too, you know, okay, well, if you don't like me, that's your tough luck. That's what is so perplexing, that people would do that to a person. Well, I'm sure there's others that feel that way. I've met a lot of people that are the quiet type. They're beautiful people. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful people. Mm-hmm. Emotions don't necessarily make you a better person. They may make you a worse person because you're too reliant on that. And like it says mm-hmm. in the Bible, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Well, emotions are part of the flesh. That's what I would hope people could get out of this, that that it's like in Romans 8:2, it says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, the law of the spirit is basically the word of God. It has nothing to do with your emotions. And it's like you said earlier, if God said it, that settles it. It's true, regardless mm-hmm. of how I believe, because even beliefs can change. Feelings change, but the word of God will never change. And if people could understand that, if we could all understand that and appreciate it, and just remember that, no matter what you're going on through in life, how, you know, 10 years from now, 10 minutes from now, 10 seconds from now, you just can't necessarily believe it unless it is based on God's word, God's promise.
Right, and since you've mentioned this about feelings, there's nothing wrong with accurate feelings.
Right.
But there are those who try to manufacture. They try to, it's like, I'm supposed to feel something that they don't, as opposed to saying, Lord, if they're, or damaged emotions within me. And there's no question. There is emotional abuse. And that's what it's called, emotional abuse.
Right.
There are those who can grow up with cruelty, and here you could have a child that wants to respond, and here, you know, a child can be physically harmed or emotionally harmed. And the point is, we don't, and you've already said it, we are not all alike. I think it's great, those who had a very secure home life. I just was with a man tonight, it was at a board meeting, and I listened to this man afterwards. He and I had a talk about his wife and children, and he's so caring and loving. And I said to him, I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, to have you as a dad. I said, I would have loved to have had you as a dad, but I didn't have a chance. You know, I had what I had. And my dad, I didn't know it, but until after he had died, that his father would beat his mother, and the kids would run and sometimes make it to a relative's house or just sleep on a church pew in Illinois. Well, I had no idea of that. And so I thought, no wonder my father was not warm at all. It was helpful for me to know that piece of that puzzle. And instead of expecting him to be like other wonderful fathers that I saw, and I thought, well, I can't relate to that kind of a wonderful, I mean, these are wonderful fathers, but, you know, I just had it differently. So I didn't have the security that I would have loved to have had, but, you know,
but
it
June,
gives me...
Mm-hmm. I want to say this real quick. I've heard you say this on previous programs, and maybe you're going to get to it, but I'm going to say it with you, that you may not have had that, neither did I,
mm-hmm.
but we are helping people, and it's allowed us to have the compassion.
Yes.
Because there's many people like us, June, that have never had that love from their childhood. and they need someone that understands and can relate to them. And we are ministering, we are better able to minister in a way because they will trust us. Not that these people that have had love in their childhood could not minister. They could, but people will say, "I don't identify with you. You had it made. I don't really want to know your story because you don't identify with me. You had it differently than me." But somebody like us that lived the same type of life of pain, we can identify with them and show them a compassion that these other people. I even get it from some of the people in my school. They had it so easy. They think, "Oh, well, if you just do this or believe this, it's all going to work out perfect." Yeah, but okay, it will. You're right. But can you show some, like, can you at least show a little bit of compassion about that? And they really just have no understanding of that.
That's not their experience. And in other words, it's wonderful that if they've had a truly nurturing mother and a truly nurturing father, that I'm for that. I wouldn't change any of that. But for those of us who did not have that, all the more can we identify with the pain that others feel. In other words, you and I can say we understand. And by the way, you know, I thought it was fantastic after a while when I learned that we are adopted into the family of God. I didn't know that initially. And I said, "What do you mean adopted?" But then here were scriptures. And I thought, adopted? Yes, and that means we were chosen. The Lord chose to adopt us into his family as we yield our will to his will. And that is extraordinary. That's a relationship word. In fact, Ephesians 1:5 says, "He predestined us to be adopted." So he chose us to be adopted. And I think the issue is when you see yourself through God's eyes, you are his child forever. So it's not just you were born physically. Yes, you were born physically, but also you become adopted by God, and you're spiritually alive, not just physically alive, when we enter into that life-changing relationship with God. Specifically, 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." Isn't that precious?
Amen. Amen. And that, you know, eternity is a long time. the largest number in the world, a Googleplexian, if you were to multiply that by itself and then to the Googleplexian power, which is a number so large that you can't even comprehend it, it'd take you a lifetime just to count it or just to count the zeros in it. That is not even a whisper compared to eternity. That big number is not even a whisper. People need to realize that eternity is so long, and yet if we will trust in God and his word through Christ Jesus, we have that eternity. We have that assurance.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I love to say is eternity is too long to be wrong. And just as you doubted your salvation basically for over 55 years and have been actively seeking it, it's his joy to give you salvation. And the key is that you humble your heart, you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, not based on emotion, but based on the authority of the Word of God. Then he not only adopts us into his family, but we are secure in his family forever.
We have resources on the Bible called Is It Reliable? Truth on Trial, also Salvation, Overcoming Arguments, Answering Arguments, Overcoming Objections. And we will be sending resources out to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. And if you'd like to give to keep those resources going out and to keep this program on the air, you may do so at hopewiththeheart.org/givehope. And we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, our program can be found on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.